All right, let's open our Bibles up to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Matthew, chapter 9. Our message this morning is everything to give. Everything to give. It is the third message in our mission series this month. We're focusing in, we're keying in on the mission of the church. I'm hoping that you'll accept this as something of a mission statement from me as your pastor, where I hope that God is leading me to lead you as a church. The principles that I hope we'll draw upon in the months and years to come to ensure that we are following Him and living and serving according to His will, I hope this message will capture your heart like it's captured mine, so that together we can all be in harmony and unity and be focused and committed to seeing fellowship, serve the Lord, and serve the kingdom. When you found Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, would you please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? It says here in Matthew chapter 9, again, this is the third time we've read this passage. This is our key passage for this whole series, but it's so important. It's the mission and the example to the church. It says here in verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings of life. God, I pray this morning that in the next few moments we can capture from your word the heart of Christ, and that, Lord God, each one of us might be convicted, might be encouraged, might be motivated, God, to consider what we have to give for the church and for the kingdom and for our Savior, and determine to give it all. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us. Remember, Lord, if there might be any soul here that's not saved, speak to them today. Convict them, invite them into the family of God before it's everlasting too late. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add His blessings to the reading of His Word. There was a notorious miser who was called on by the chairman of the community charity. "Sir," said the fundraiser, "our records show that despite your wealth, you've never once given to our drive." "Well, do your records show that I have an elderly mother who was left penniless when my father died?" fumed the tightwad. "Do your records show that I have a disabled brother who is unable to work? Do your records show," he keeps on going, "that I have a widowed sister with small children who can barely make ends meet?" Somewhat intimidated, the embarrassed volunteer says, Well, no, sir, our records don't show those things." "Well, if I don't give to any of them, why should I give anything to you?" was his response. If you want to find somebody in the world who doesn't have anything to give anybody, we don't have to look too far, do we? There's plenty of selfish people, unfortunately, in this world today. And lest we judge, we need to remember that if we have anything to give today, it's because Christ first blessed us with it. Isn't that right? And so if He hadn't given us anything, we wouldn't have anything to give. And so if we're going to give today, we ought not give with a sense of pride, with a sense of self-aggrandizement, but instead to understand that we're blessed to be able to give. And when we talk about giving, it's in the context this Sunday of understanding that that is one of the third parts of what I believe to be the mission of the church is today. These past 2 weeks, we've been talking about the idea that the church must go, the church must grow, and the church must give all for the glory of Christ. Over the last 2 weeks, we talked about how we go to the lost. We share Christ with those who don't know Him, with the hopes that they might be introduced and they might put their faith and their trust in Him. We talked last week about our privilege to be able to grow strong believers and to disciple one another so that we can become all that God in Christ wants us to be. And again, we do all this to lift up the name of Jesus, not for our own excitement or our own good name. We do it for the King. But there's one part of the church's mission, I think, that can seem really difficult. And that is the idea of giving. Now, we're not exactly talking about giving monetarily. I know, don't worry. Y'all don't like it when a preacher talks about giving. I understand that. Nobody does. That is a facet of it. That is a component of it. But it's much more than just that. We're talking today about the church giving its resources so that it might make a difference in the community. Now, a lot of times when we talk about this, the feedback I get sometimes from people in the church or folks that are listening to what I have to say in the past, I'm not talking about today or here at Fellowship, but just in the past, as a pastor who's been doing this now for a few years, well, Pastor, why should we care what happens in the community? Why is that our problem? I've heard people express that question many times. They'll say, is this what we're really about? Isn't the church about more than that? Doesn't God care more about us sharing the gospel? Well, you know, Pastor, we can't help everybody, so why should we even try? We're not doing a good job of taking care of our own. That's one of my favorites. We need to take care of our own first. Why would we take care of anybody else before we take care of our own? Now, obviously, these are worldly questions. These are questions that you and I might be tempted to ask, and sometimes, and I have to confess, even we might believe them, that they're the questions that are what matters when we're focused more on ourselves and our own group of people. But I think the better question that you and I ought to be asking this morning, and the question that this message will hope to get at today, is the question not whether the church should care or should we care or why would we care, but really the question today is, does Christ care? Does Christ care? Does Christ care what happens in our community and in our world? Because if Christ is our leader today, if Christ is the one that is our example and that we're trying to pattern ourselves after, and if it's true that He cares about this world and about this community, then I think that we ought to care as well, right? Because I don't want to be different from my Savior in any way. I want to be like Him. I want to grow and to be sanctified so that what happens in my mind would be what would happen in His mind. I'm not going to be able to do that perfectly while I'm on this earth, but in everything I'm going to try. I'm going to confess when I fail, and I'm going to strive to do better. And so then we should be concerned this morning whether Christ cares. And I think in the verses that we're going to read today in Matthew chapter 9 together, we're going to see that He actually, truly, really does. So let's read these verses together. Let's consider these little points one at a time. Number one, when we read in verses 18 and 19, we see that Christ went to the people and to the places that needed Him. Christ went to the people and to the places that needed Him. Let's read verses 18 and 19 together. It says, when He spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped Him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed Him, and so did, don't miss this, so did His disciples. It's Father's Day. I can't think of anything more terrifying, anything more just pit of your stomach inducing than the idea as a father that your child's not well, that your son or that your daughter might be sick and even worse, sick unto death. But that's exactly the situation that the ruler found himself in this passage in Matthew chapter 9. And seeing that either his daughter was on the very brink of death or had already passed, he believes and trusts that there's one name who can do something about this situation. And so he seeks out Jesus. And he comes to Jesus and he tells Jesus, if you'll come and lay your hands on my daughter, I know that she can live again. That's faith, church. That's the faith that a father needs. This is not my sermon, but hey, let's just throw it in here for extra. If you want to be a good father, you don't need to have faith in yourself and your own ability to be a good father. You need to believe in Jesus and trust Him to help you be the father you need to be, right? That's a little extra today. This man could have never sought out Jesus, could have never put his faith in Him, could have never put his trust in Him, and his daughter would have been dead from that day forward. But he chose to seek out Jesus. Now, when he comes and seeks out Jesus, we see Jesus doing what he did time and time again during his time on this earth. Jesus gave so much to the communities that he ministered to. Just in chapter 9 alone, in verses 2 through 6, he healed the man of palsy and forgave him of his sins. In verse 22, which we're going to read in a moment, he's going to heal the woman with the issue of blood. Spoiler, verse 25, he's going to raise this daughter from the dead. Verse 30, he's going to give sight to the two blind men that he encounters. Verse 33, he's going to cast a demon out from a dumb man and cause him to speak. And then when we reach verse 35, which we read at the start of this sermon, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and doing what? Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Do you see here a heart in our Savior that does seem to care about the people in His community? In fact, He cares so much that the implication of this passage is that if Jesus was encountered with your need, if you came to Him and you asked Him for help, He wasn't turning you away. He didn't turn anybody away. We haven't seen that anywhere in Scriptures where He's ever turned anybody away. Now, of course, the response to this from the church would be, but we're not Jesus, Pastor. We can't do what He did. Is that really true? Now, think about that before you answer. Is that really true that we're not Jesus, that we can't do what He did? Is the church incapable today of making as big a difference as Jesus did? Well, I'd invite you to consider the words of Jesus in the book of John chapter 14, verse 12. John 14, 12, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do," what does he say? "He shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Oh, but Pastor, we're not going to raise anybody from the dead. We can't heal their diseases. We can't do the same works that Jesus did. Well, that may be true in this church age that we can't perform the same miracles that He did. But I do believe the promise of Jesus that He speaks in this passage. He's not just making idle words. What He's saying here is that my followers, my church, the organization, my bride that comes after me, if you trust in me, what I've done, you'll do at a greater scale for the kingdom. And that happened. Jesus, you know, by the time He left this world, He had 12 close followers, about 500 general followers, and then, you know, probably groups throughout the region of Israel, mostly Judea, Galilee, around that area, who would follow Him and believe in Him. But when He left and the Holy Spirit came and the church began to grow and expand its borders, do you know what the church did? It doubled, it tripled, it quadrupled the reach of the gospel, so that more and more people begin to hear the message and begin to know of this man Jesus and what He can do for you and how He can help you and heal you. And so you better believe it, that yes, Jesus has called us, He's commanded us to be Him to our generation. And we have the power and the ability to make a difference at a much even greater scale than we see that he did in Scripture. Everything that he was on this earth, we must strive to be. What Christ gave, we must give as well. Church, I want to go to the people and the places that need Christ. So the question today isn't, well, what does Josh McKinney have to give? What does, Brother Howard Boland have to give? What does Brother Sonny have to give? That's not the question today. The question today is, what has Christ given me that I'm blessed to be able to give back to this world that needs him so desperately? That's the question today. He's been so good to us. He saved us. He lives in us. His Holy Spirit guides and directs us. So then we have now the ability to do what he did, reach the people and places he reached, but at a much greater scale. Now, I have to be careful with this, because when you start talking about giving, when you start talking about committing resources, when you start talking about doing things in the community, people get a little uncomfortable, and that's okay. But I want you to think about this, all right? If you and I go to the doctor, when you go to the doctor, what do they do to you? I hate it. I do get, fellas, this is some more Father's Day advice. You ready? Okay. Here we go. Peppering it in for you. Go to the doctor every year, fellas. You're supposed to. All right. I'm not seeing any wives nodding their heads, but listen, I'm helping you. Okay. All right. Go to the doctor. But I'm telling you, when you go to the doctor, what do? Well, they poke you and they prod you and they squish you and they twist you. You're like, oh my goodness, don't do that. But why are they doing that? What do they ask you? Did that feel uncomfortable? Well, yes. Let me do it to you, giving an Indian burn on your arms, how you feel. But the reality is, if the doctor pokes and pushes and prods and you just feel uncomfortable, but you don't hurt, well, that's a good thing, right? That means the doctor hasn't found anything worth checking out. But if the doctor pokes and prods on you and it hurts a lot and you start protesting, you start saying, ow, 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 ow. That means the doctor needs to look a little bit more closely at that, right? Now follow me here. Preacher stands in the pulpit and says, church, we ought to be willing and ready to give to our community like Jesus did. And people in the church start saying, now wait a second, Could it be that we found something the great physician needs to investigate and heal? Think about that. Listen. We can criticize the message, we can criticize the messenger. But at the end of the day, if the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart and mind, you and I need to submit to His leadership and control, right? We have to give, church. Jesus went to the people and places that needed Him. He gave of His time and His availability, His resources, everything He had, He gave it away. We have to be willing to do the same. Number two, this is so important, because physical needs often make way for the spiritual ones. Physical needs often make way for the spiritual ones. We see that in verses 20 through 22. It says in verse 20, listen, Jesus has just been asked to go raise this daughter from the dead. And so he and his disciples, and again, don't miss that, Jesus went, and what did his disciples do? They followed him, right? We're no better. We need to follow him as well. But Jesus is now on his way to heal, raise this daughter from the dead. But what happens? Verse 20, and behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Aren't you glad Jesus touched you one day and you were whole from that hour forward? I'm glad today Jesus touched me, or I reached out to him and he allowed me to touch him. And he saved me and made me whole from that moment. That's what happened to this woman. And it brings to idea the question, how many people that Jesus encountered Jesus primarily because of their spiritual need for salvation. How many? Yes, there were a few. But I would submit this morning that this woman, that man, Jairus, we know from the book of Mark, that ruler, these men who were possessed by demons, the man sick of the palsy, all of these people encountered Jesus first, not because of their spiritual need, but because they had a desperate, pressing physical need. They needed help, and Jesus was the only name on earth that they could reach out to that could help them. Church, the church should be a spiritual place. Don't get me wrong here. If we begin to focus too much on the physical and remove the spiritual element from the ministry of the church, we will simply become a charity organization. And boy, that's nice to have in your community, but that will not do anything for a man or a woman's eternal soul. So we cannot ignore that spiritual element, but I want you to be aware today of the way that God works. God sometimes allows the physical need to give way to the spiritual need. I bet, you don't have to raise your hand today, I bet there's someone here today who the first time they called upon the name of the Lord, it was because they had a physical need. They were sick. They were hurting. They needed God to touch a friend or a family member or a loved one. They prayed that desperate prayer, God, I don't know if you're listening. I don't know if you're real today. I don't know if your son exists, but I've got nowhere else to go. God, can you heal us? Can you fix us? Can you help us? How many people do that? And then through that pursuit of that physical need, God moves and ministers and makes a way for them to see their desperate spiritual need. That's how God works in this world, church. That physical need gives way to that spiritual need. And God saves the soul. He can heal the body and give glory to Him this morning. There are miracles amongst us, I know, of how God's helped and healed. But man, when God changes the heart and the soul, that heals you forevermore. And we can't ignore that today, church. We can be as spiritual as we want to be, but the fact is, most, if not all, people come to God first because of some reason other than the forgiveness of their sins. But church, the important thing is that they come. Because even if they're not cognizant of their spiritual need, they do know they have a need. And that helps them to recognize that there's a God who can help them. Back in the first part of Matthew 9, Jesus says that He's the great physician, the healer of the body and the soul. Let's talk about that old doctor again. You go to the doctor for that checkup. You tell doctor, I've got back pain. Oh, it's killing me. I need help for it. And so the doctor, he gives you that examination and he discovers the worst. He discovers you have cancer. Now what's the doctor going to do? Is the doctor going to be, well, we got this whole cancer thing, but let's make sure we take care of this back pain first before we deal with it. Is that what the doctor's going to do? Is the doctor going to say, well, you came to me for back pain. I've noticed there's cancer, but we'll just ignore that for now. And we'll focus on that. Is that what the doctor's going to do? No. When the doctor sees you have a deeper need, what's the doctor going to do? He's going to work to heal that deeper need. That's what Jesus does. That's what the church does. When folks come to the church, when they come to the Lord with that need, physical, whatever it might be, there's an opportunity. There's a door to open. Yes, I know you've come because you have this temporary physical ailment or pressing need, but did you know you have a greater need? Your greater need is that you need a Savior today. And Jesus can save those who put themselves in the position to be healed. Church, it's so important that we remember that physical needs give way for the spiritual ones. Consider what the woman said in verse 21. She said, if I may but touch His garment, I shall be whole. I suggest that day that woman knew she was sick, But more importantly, she knew that Jesus could help. And so she trusted Him to help her. Church, we need people in this world to know that the church is a place where they can find help. Now, I know the criticism, the fear would be, well, Pastor, what if we can't help them? I mean, you're talking about physical needs. There's a whole gamut of physical needs that could be out there. And what if we can't do something? I mean, we're going to set people up for disappointment. It'd be better just to ignore all those physical needs if we can't help one. Well, I'm not sure about that, church. Consider how Peter handled such a situation. Peter, in Acts chapter 3, he was made aware of a beggar in the streets. And he goes and stands before this beggar. And that beggar, it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 5, gave heed unto him and John, expecting to receive something of them. And then what was it that Peter said, verse 6? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Church, I do believe that no matter what the ailment is, the church has something to offer the people in our community today. And what's important, whether we can truly help every physical need that they have, or whether we can just show them that at the very least we care, what's important is they know that there is something powerful here today that they can lay their hands on if they just have the faith to look for it. And if our witness is that we don't care, we're not interested, we're just focused on what's going on in here, they'll never come through the door. We have to have a heart like Jesus had, because Jesus knew that physical needs make way for the spiritual ones. Time and time again, He would heal that physical need, and then He would heal that deeper spiritual need. Finally, it's a tragedy today when people get the wrong idea about the church, when they think that church people don't care about them, they don't love them, they don't long to see them do well. Because finally, number three, if they ignore what this church, or they think that the church doesn't have anything to give them, then they're not going to find, number three, that Christ's power in us can bring the dead back to life. Christ's power in us can bring the dead back to life. Church, it's so important today that the community that we are finding ourselves placed in believes that there's something here that they can take advantage of in some way, that believes that there are people here who care about them and love them. Because if they'll just take the chance, if they'll listen to the movement of the Lord, if they'll get involved, if they'll hear our witness, if they'll do something here in this place, I believe Christ's power here in us, and you and I in this church, can raise them spiritually from the dead. Jesus demonstrates that here in verses 23 through 26. Let's read these verses together. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And look what they did. They laughed him to scorn. But, that's my favorite word in the Bible, by the way. But, because whenever you see the word but, that means God's about to do something people don't think He can do. But when the people were put forth, He went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. Here in these verses, we see one of the most powerful acts that Christ ever accomplished. He takes the hand of a little girl whose father had come and said, if you just come to my house, I know that she can be brought back to life. That's exactly what Jesus does Church, there's no greater power in this world than the power over life and death. There is no way to deny the authority of one who wields such a power. But if it had been up to the world that day, then this power would have never had the opportunity to be demonstrated. I want you to pay attention to what happened when Jesus showed up on the scene. When Jesus arrived, the minstrels were there, the Bible says. Now, in that day, it was important that when someone died, they were properly mourned. And so often, rich to poor, they would hire professional mourners who would come and play the sad songs and would wail and cry for the loss of the one who had died. Remember, this was a ruler. Remember, this was a young child. By the time Jesus arrived, the word had already gotten out that this girl had died. And these professional mourners, sensing there was an opportunity for profit here, are already on the scene, ready to provide their services. Look how good we mourn. Don't you want to pay us, you rich ruler? We'll mourn your child. Their mourning was not sincere, because as soon as Jesus says to them, hey, you're wasting your time, she's not going to be dead much longer, they laugh him to scorn. Church, this is, I think, a good example of how the world looks at the church. Now, I can't blame the world too much, because I believe sometimes the church earns this reputation. If we become inward focused, if we think that the only thing that matters here at Fellowship is just what goes on in these four walls, if we don't ever look beyond ourselves and have a care for the people lost and dying and hurting and sick and poor outside our doors, then who can blame the world when we act like there's power here? They've never seen it. They've never experienced it. We've never darkened their door. Why would they think there's anything here that could be of any value to them? But Jesus isn't like that. Sometimes the church is, but Jesus isn't. Jesus goes to the people and places that need Him. And that day, Jesus walked through the door, and as those minstrels and those performers laughed Him to scorn, He reached out His hand, and He took that little girl, and He raised her up from the dead. Can you imagine such a scene? It puts chills on my arms. Jesus had power over life and death. He still does today. There is no one like Him. Woo! The people in this world need to know that Jesus lives here today. He's here in this service right now. I feel His presence today. That's what this world needs. Folks, if the people get the wrong idea about you and I, if they think we don't care anything about them, if they never see any evidence to the contrary, then who can blame them when they laugh and they mock if we try to suggest that, well, what we have here is what's good for your soul? Christ's power in us, the church, can bring the dead back to life. There's nothing more that the devil wants, church, than for us to be laughed out of this community. He wants our doors to shut and nobody to even notice. Did you know that happens sometimes? Oh gosh. Church, can you pray for this? Listen, pray for this specifically. I'm about done. Just hold on for just a moment, okay? Can you pray for this? Every day, there are churches that close their doors. Y'all know that? It's kind of sad, Brother Mike. When I was in Sunday school growing up, Brother Mike would illustrate just how many souls every day are dying and going to hell. And he'd snap his fingers, and I can just remember that. And he's like, every time I snap my finger, that's another soul that's died and gone off into eternity in hell. And that's where they are for all eternity. And that's a good illustration, Brother Mike. But I'm sad to say, Brother Mike, we could use that same illustration for the number of churches these days that are closing their doors for the last time. It's happening. It's in decline. But here's the saddest part. Those churches close, and then their neighbors find out 4 or 5 years later because nothing changed when the church closed its doors. Do you understand how wrong that is? Jesus went to the people and places that needed Him. If the church is doing the same, when our doors close, if they do one day, then everybody in this community ought to say, oh boy, I hate to hear that. They really cared about us. God forbid that happened to us, church. People need to know we're here because it's Christ's power in us that will give them the opportunity to be brought back to life. Here's how I'll close. I'll reiterate, verse 35. It just says that Jesus went to all the cities. He went to all the synagogues. He teached, He preached, He shared the gospel, and He healed every sickness and every disease. He never turned anybody away. He was the great physician. And the great physician has nothing to do except to heal. And what was the result of this? Listen now. Verse 8, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had been given such power unto men. Verse 26, and the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. Verse 31, but they, when they were departed, spread about His fame in all that country. Verse 33, and when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it has never so seen in Israel. You see what happens when Jesus cares about the people that need Him most and He shows them His power? They just have to step back and praise His holy name. I'm not trying to sell you down the river today, church. I'm not trying to get you to grudgingly accept, well, I guess the church ought to be... And again, please follow me here. Please don't take any of this too personally. I know our church gives strongly to this world and this community. I know over the years our witness has been strong in helping the community. That's not what I'm trying to... I'm not trying to condemn you today. I'm just trying, again, as I'm coming to be your pastor now, in the days and months to come, I'm telling you today, Jesus wants us to care about this community. He wants us to go to the people and places that need Him. And He wants us to show them that Jesus has the power to bring the dead back to life. And so that's what I'm going to do, church. I have no other choice but to do it. And so I want you, church, to not think, well, I guess we got to do this begrudgingly. But I want us to see that if we'll simply be obedient and be the Jesus that was on this earth, His name will be magnified and glorified. He can't help but gain glory when Jesus is made much of. We can do it. You know, Jesus came to a nation that really wasn't ready to receive Him. They had followed false traditions and false teachings. They weren't really, really looking for Him when He arrived. Here in America, I think the church sees a very similar situation. The church in our country is in decline. Sometimes it seems like we don't hear anyone praising Christ anymore. When we come to church, we're tempted to just wring our hands and just ask, well, how are we going to get people to come here? How are people going to experience the power and love of Christ? Well, I'm convicted this morning because I read the Scriptures and I know the answer. Hear me now. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Jesus in Matthew 5:16 said Himself, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you see? It's the church being the church in the world that needs the church more than anything else. We have to give, church. We have to give our resources. We have to give our time. We have to give our strength. We have to give our lives. Jesus gave all of that. As I sang, Jesus paid it all. Do you know how Jesus paid it all? Because He gave it all. Every bit of it. We're no better than Him. Pray with me, church. A fellowship that our sister churches will have a similar testimony, that will realize that the power of Christ can't just be contained in this building. We got to give it away to all the people who need it desperately. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You, God, for the blessings of life. Thank You, God, for the spirit we felt in this place, Lord, the liberty to preach. God, thank You for the way that You led and drew this message together, God. I feel, God, You truly spoke today. God, I don't want to condemn or begrudge or diminish anything that my church or my people have been involved in. I know we have some faithful witnesses here, God. I know this church has a faithful testimony. But God, I just want to reiterate. I want to strengthen that commitment. I want us to not question, God, what it is that we're supposed to be involved in on this earth. There are people today who have many needs. And God, the greatest need is that need for a Savior. If they won't hear us about their need for a Savior, maybe first they'll hear us and accept our help for some other need. That's how it was with Jesus. That's how it can be with us. God will fail. God, we won't do this perfectly. But God, I know that if we commit in the heart and the desire to see You glorified, I know You'll use this, God. Help us, Lord, to have the faith to know that when we give faithfully, like Jesus gave, Christ's power, God's power, can be beheld. Thank You for everything You've done for us, God. We give You the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.